Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Over a black background, the letters XYZ appear. Over a city skyline at night, words appear. Netflix presents a Netflix original film, an XYZ production, a Wigwam Films Pretty Pictures production.
And it looks like a gang really.
Hello?
Hello?
In a bedroom in an apartment, a teenage boy sits in the dark at a desk, playing a video game on a laptop computer. He turns to a window that looks out onto the lights of a nearby building. He turns away, picks a pair of headphones off his desk, then puts them over his ears. An overhead view of the apartment complex during the day. On a city street, the boy, wearing a school uniform, taps at a handheld device. Another teenage boy in a school uniform approaches him.
Tom.
He puts his hand on Tom's shoulder.
Tom, what's happening?
You alright, Danny?
Yo, don't say I never do nothing for you.
Sweet.
Danny passes Tom a cell phone, a photo on the display.
Who's that?
I didn't say it weren't secondhand.
In a classroom, Tom and others.
This morning we're going to go over your revision sheets and take a look at exam prep. If we don't hit the 60% pass rate, we're going to be spending a lot more time together in the queue at the job centre. So, Tom, how did you get on with the exercises? Tom.
Tom stares across the class at a brunette girl.
Triangles?
Okay, Aline, what about you?
In a courtyard outside the school, Danny and Tom.
Man, it's painful watching you sometimes.
What?
This. Everyone knows you fancy Lucy Walker since forever. Just man up and get it done, all right? Ooh, here she comes. This could be your big chance to impress us, so make sure you say something really, really cool.
Go away, please.
Tom.
Hey.
Did you get the science revision?
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, did you get it?
Oh, did I get it? Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
Tommy boy, it's getting moist just talking to a girl.
Still a dickhead, Eugene.
Eugene flicks spit at Tom.
Fuck off.
Eugene leaves.
So anyway, the science revision. I was wondering if you could help me because I tried looking at it and then I remembered I haven't paid attention to science since like 2011. So.
I'll see what I can do. I mean, I can only work with what I got. You're not exactly a model student.
Are you questioning my academic prowess?
I am, yeah.
All right, well, I'm seeing Charlie after school, but come by late, yeah?
Sure. Charlie Gibbs or Charlie Penford?
Charlie Gibbs. As in Charlotte? I haven't seen Charlie Penford in months.
Right, of course, I mean, it's none of my business, obviously.
I'll see you later, then.
See you, Lucy, later. See you later, Lucy.
They separate. Tom passes through a gated fence surrounding the schoolyard. In the living room of his apartment, Tom sits on a couch, watching TV. Typing at a laptop, a grey-haired 60-ish woman sits at a table behind him.
What are you so fidgety about?
He turns to her.
If someone said for you to come round later, what time would you say I was?
Later than what?
Than earlier. Like 8, do you think, maybe?
Well, that's certainly later on than earlier.
What are you writing?
A romance novel.
They're all romance novels.
Yes, they are. Would you like to hear some?
I don't think so.
Philip.
Nan.
Closed the door behind him and undid the buttons of his shirt. He unbuckled his belt and released his engorged...
Jesus, I'm going.
He winces, then leaves the room. At night, Tom makes his way along an outdoor walkway, running along a row of apartments. He stops before an unclosed door, pushes it open, and steps inside. He steps slowly toward a door at the end of a dark hallway.
Lucy?
He glances into a living room where a teenage boy lies unconscious on the floor. Tom's mouth gapes open. He turns to the door at the end of the hall. Two hooded men with bandanas over the bottom halves of their faces back out of the room. One points a cell phone camera into the room. They turn to Tom. The other hooded man pulls a small caliber revolver. Tom turns and runs. Tom darts out of the apartment and runs down the walkway. The two hooded men, followed by two other hooded men, chase after him. Tom pulls out a cell phone. The armed man points his weapon at him. Tom falls. The hooded men run off. Over a black background, the title "I Boy" appears in white letters. A computer-animated schematic of the synapses and connecting tissue of a human brain appear. A mangled chunk of a cell phone is embedded in the tissue. A green light begins to glow in a cell phone fragment, then flashes. A wave of light sweeps across the surrounding tissue and synapses, forming crystallized clumps of glowing light. Flashing intermittently across the sequence are barely perceptible words and images, including a camera, the Twitter account of a bald man in a tuxedo named Pitbull, a skyscraper, a weeping woman, a man in a Guy Fawkes mask, and the word pyramid, which appears on several occasions. Words appear, starring Bill Milner, Macy Williams, Jordan Bolger, Charlie Palmer Rothwell, and Eamon Hamduchi, with Rory Kinnear and Miranda Richardson. Music by Max Araj and Stefan Thumb. Co-producers Gabe Scarpelli and Ben Jock. Executive producer Tor Schmidt. Aram Terzakian, Nick Spicer, Ian Brick, and Matt Levin. Based on the novel by Kevin Brooks. Written by Joe Barton, Mark Denton, and Johnny Stockwood. Produced by Gail Matru, Nate Bulletin, Emily Leo, Oliver Roskill, and Lucan Ta. Directed by Adam Randall. In an emergency room, blurry footage of doctors looking down at a patient. In a hospital room, Tom lies in a bed. He has a black right eye and a bandage over his right temple. His eyes snap open. He turns to the gray-haired woman.
Nan?
She looks up at him. On a viewer, a doctor shows them an x-ray of Tom's brain.
This is your phone.
The phone is embedded in Tom's brain.
Did it miss all the important bits?
Well, it's a brain, so we tend to think of all of it. It's quite important.
But it will be okay.
We hope so. Fragments here and here miss the temporal lobe and the auditory complex by millimeters.
Is my friend in here?
Lucy's gone home, love.
She was discharged about a week ago.
You've been out for nearly 10 days, Tom. At the moment, nothing in there is moving around in any way that worries us. You were very lucky.
Will there be, like, side effects?
We're going to keep an eye on you, but if anything unusual happens, I want you to let me know straight away.
Unusual like how?
Just unusual.
In the back seat of a taxi, Tom and Nan.
Should have done something.
You did the only thing you could, love.
Have you seen her?
No. Take a while, Tom.
Is there something about my grandson you find particularly fascinating?
No.
Well, stop bloody staring at him then.
Looks like he's been in the wars.
Well, thank you for your considered medical opinion. Maybe next time I'll get the doctor to drive us and you to do the operation. How about now?
Tom looks up at the fare meter. The red numbers on it begin to flash, then glow white. In his bedroom, Tom lies asleep in bed. His eyes open. Glowing white numbers hover in the air above him. He sits up. The numbers disappear. He winces. In the kitchen, Tom and Nan sit at the table.
So how are you feeling? How's the head?
It's all right.
He peels the bandage off of his temple, exposing a shaved section of his head.
How's it look?
Already. Looks better. We need to even this up a bit.
She points at the other side of his head.
You know, if you feel up to it, maybe later you should go and see Lucy.
She's not going to want to see me.
Of course she is.
I ran away, Nan.
Anyone could be forgiven for running out of that flat, Tom. But someone who kept running afterwards, when she really needed them, that'd be a coward.
Outside a grocery store, Tom with a bouquet of flowers.
Me, what a fucking arsehole. Who says that? I mean, come on. He said he was going to call me, and then when I saw him, he said he's out of credit.
He turns to a girl on a cell phone.
Yeah, I know for a fact he's definitely on a contract. Yeah, oh my God, what a prick. Now some boy's staring at me. Shit, it's that kid they shot. How's he look?
He leaves. In an apartment building, an elevator door opens, revealing Eugene and another boy inside. Tom enters.
What floor are you on?
Five.
Eugene glances at the bouquet.
Nice flowers. For your nan. Oh, you look like shit.
The door opens. Tom steps out.
Say hello to Lucy from us, yeah?
Eugene turns to the other boy and smirks. In Lucy's apartment, Tom with a dark-haired woman in her 40s.
Let me go and check on her first, all right?
Tom steps into the living room where a teenage boy sits on a couch watching TV. The boy has a cut on his face.
All right, Ben.
You all right, Tom?
A Wi-Fi router on an end table flashes. A glowing geometrical shape appears briefly around it. Tom furrows his brow.
She's in her room, Tom.
In her bedroom, Lucy sits on her bed. Tom sits in a nearby chair.
I'm glad you're not dead.
Thanks. Say.
They're giving you lots of drugs.
Must have done. Things have been a bit trippy. I'm sorry, Liz.
It's okay.
No, it's not. They won't get away with it.
We already have.
He bows his head.
Should have done something.
Yeah, like what?
Shouldn't have run.
No one's mad at you for not being a hero.
He looks up at her. At night, Tom steps from Lucy's apartment onto the outdoor walkway. He hunches his shoulders, bows his head, and steadies himself against the railing as he staggers down the walkway. In the hallway of his apartment building, Tom approaches the door to his apartment, unlocks it, and steps inside, where Nan sits at the table with her laptop in front of her.
Tom?
His eyes dart around the living room. Green lights emanate from the TV toward him. He turns and makes his way down the hallway toward his bedroom.
Tom?
I'm fine.
You're frightening me. I'm gonna call the doctor.
I'm fine. Seriously, I just need to get some sleep.
In his bedroom, he leans against the wall near the door and bows his head. He raises his eyes. Green lights emanate from the electronic equipment in his room. The lights form images and scrolling text. He turns to a strip of green light shining through a gap in the curtains over the window. He pulls open the curtains. The entire city skyline is bathed in twitching green lights. His mouth gapes open. His eyes roll back into his head. He collapses. Blurry streaks of green light come together, revealing the hallway outside Tom's bedroom door. A flash of images. Doctors looking down at a patient. Ben lying unconscious on his living room floor. Ben sitting on the couch in his living room. Green lights flashing around the Wi-Fi router. The two hooded men backing out of Lucy's bedroom. The green lights around the router form scrolling text, among which are the words, Eugene, iPhone connected, 8:03 p.m. The two hooded men turn down the hallway. One is recognizable as Eugene. In his bedroom, Tom lies unconscious on the floor. His eyes open. He glances under his bed at a superhero action figure lying amid a pile of books and clothes. He winces, then sits up and pulls himself onto his feet. He looks out the window. He scans the city skyline, which appears as normal in the daylight. He presses his fingers against the side of his head. At the kitchen table, Nan sits in front of her laptop. She turns to Tom as he enters.
There he is.
Morning.
You sleep all right, love?
Yeah, good.
Well, you look better. How was Lucy yesterday?
Different.
Yeah, so are you.
Keep thinking if your mum was still with us, she'd be out there now, kicking doors down, trying to find the little bastards that did that to you.
In the hallway outside the apartment, Tom steps into an elevator. Nan.
Tom! What are you doing?
It's Monday.
You've just been shot in the head. I think they'll give you a bit of time on school.
It's exams. What doing?
You stay out of trouble.
On the outdoor walkway, Danny steps from an apartment.
Tom.
He and Tom hug.
Oh, easy.
Shit, you took a headshot and you're already walking. Is it true they had to pull bits of phone out your brain?
Left most of it in there, I think.
Mate, I am. I'm glad you ain't a vegetable.
Thanks, Danny.
Wait, I know you're not going to school.
What am I?
Head trauma's wasted on you, mate.
Danny, can I ask you something?
I don't know anything about it. No one on the estate does.
Yeah, but...
Bro, just forget about it now and move on.
I think Eugene was there.
Eugene? Come on, man. The guy wants to be a bad boy, but he's got a line, you know?
Yeah, but what if he was? What do I do?
Look, he wasn't there. That's all there is to it. Come on.
On a double-decker bus, Tom and Danny sit across the aisle from one another. Tom begins glancing around at the other passengers. Green lights begin to rise up from their phones and other devices and form images and screens of text. He glances out the window. Green lights emanate from the phones of pedestrians on the street below.
Tom. Tom. Did you hear what I said? Party tonight.
The words, sick party, appear over Danny's phone.
Oh, hadn't heard about it.
Yeah, he might not have invited you. Everyone still thinks you're in a coma and that.
Right.
But you should come.
Danny rises to leave.
What, you're not going to school?
They've done all they can for me, son. But I'll see you there, yeah?
In a bit.
Danny gets off the bus. In the school, Tom makes his way down the hallway past rows of staring students. In a science class, students sit at a lab bench working on an assignment. At the end of the bench, Tom stares at the students sitting in front of him. Green lights emanate off of the cell phones in their pockets and bags. He turns and stares at Eugene, who sits at the end of a bench and types on a cell phone. Two boys at the other end of the bench turn to him, then one of them picks up a cell phone. Green lights rise up from it, then blurry footage of a hooded man backhanding Lucy appears. Tom furrows his brow. Footage appears of the hooded man pushing Lucy down into her bed, climbing on top of her, then hitting her again. Tom flinches, then lowers his eyes. Over his right ear is a thick, hook-shaped scar. With smoldering eyes, he turns and stares at Eugene, whose cell phone flashes. Eugene flinches and drops his cell phone.
Eugene, put that away now.
Shut up!
Excuse me, everyone. Damn.
It's funny, isn't it?
Eugene!
You know what else is funny? I know where you live, you little...
The sun sets behind the city skyline. On a city street at night, Tom approaches a warehouse. Inside, teenagers drink and shoot pool. Tom enters and scans his surroundings. He spots Danny and approaches him. They shake hands and hug. Another teenage boy passes Tom a joint. He takes a hit on it, blows out a cloud of smoke, then sits down on a couch. In her bedroom, Lucy sits on her bed, staring off into space. At the warehouse party, Tom takes a sip from a can of beer, then tilts his head back and stares up at the ceiling. In her bedroom, Lucy opens a laptop. On the screen is her social media profile. In a text box marked, "What's on your mind?" she types, "I just want to," then pauses. Her eyes widen. At the warehouse party, Tom sits on the couch, staring across the room at the boots of a teenage boy. The footage of Lucy being attacked appears before him. The footage zooms in on the boots of one of the men holding Lucy down. In the warehouse, Tom stares at the identical boots of the teenager across the room. He notices a tattoo on the wrist of another teenager. The footage zooms in on an identical tattoo on the wrist of one of the attackers. He stares at a silver bracelet on another teenager. The footage zooms in on an identical bracelet on the wrist of one of the attackers. Tom rubs his eyes, then tilts his head back and blows smoke up toward the ceiling. In her bedroom, Lucy stares at the words, "I just want to," on her social media profile, then closes her laptop. She slouches down on her bed. In the warehouse, Tom takes a long hit on the joint, then stares across the room at Eugene, who sits in the shadows, smoking a joint. Eugene takes a hit on it, then locks looks with Tom and smirks at him. Tom rises from his seat and makes his way across the room. He stands before Eugene and stares at him.
The fuck are you staring at, Tom?
Eugene rises and steps menacingly toward him.
Who are you staring at, Tom?
Danny grabs Eugene as he lunges at Tom.
What the fuck are you
doing? How about you, Eugene?
Chill out, bro.
Hey, just chill out.
Get him out.
Yo,
relax, chill out.
Take him back to
Nanny, bro. I'm sorted, just chill.
Yeah, sorted, Nanny.
Danny grabs Tom and drags him outside into an alley.
What's the matter with you? Do you want another hole in your head? You start fighting there, you ain't gonna win it.
They were there.
What are you talking about?
At Lucy's.
When are you gonna get it for your head that this wasn't them?
You talk like you're not one of them. I know they've already got you selling. What, you think this won't escalate?
Let me a dickhead about it, Tom. I'm doing what I want. You get that? You know what? One day it'll be me at the top giving out the orders and it won't be none of this shit. Just business. Tom, I can't always be there, you know.
Tom furrows his brow. Danny turns and leaves. Tom heads off in the opposite direction. In Lucy's apartment building, Tom makes his way down a hallway. He takes out his cell phone and types a text message. Light rises up from the device and forms words that float before him. The message reads, "Hey, it's me. Are you up?" The words shoot upward and disappear. He continues down the hall. He pauses and looks at his cell phone. Glowing words rise up into the air. A message from Lucy reads, "Yeah, still up. Where are you?" On the outdoor walkway outside Lucy's apartment, Tom stands in front of her door. Lucy steps from the apartment. He smiles as she approaches him.
"You smell like weed. You got any?"
He shakes his head.
"Comes out here empty-handed."
"Sorry."
"How was the party?"
"It's all right. Didn't miss much. How you feeling?"
"Good."
"Yeah?"
"Yeah."
"That's good. Maybe you'll be able to come back to school soon."
"Yeah, maybe."
"Boring without you there." "Got an iron fried chips out in the canteen."
"Like you'd ever dare throw chips at me."
"Yeah, what would you do about it?"
"Give you a slap. Obviously."
"You'd have to find a chair to stand on first."
They grin at one another.
"You're gonna regret all this talk when I'm owning you in front of everyone."
"Okay. Wouldn't mind that so much."
He smiles at her. Her eyes widen. She looks down into the courtyard below where a group of teenage boys approach the building. She bristles and lowers her eyes.
"It's gonna be all right, you know."
"Yeah."
He turns and glares down at the boys. In the courtyard below, Eugene smokes a cigarette as the other boys pass around a basketball. Eugene takes out his cell phone and looks down at it. A text message from an unknown caller reads, "I'm coming for you." In his bedroom, Tom lies in bed, staring up at glowing green text and images floating in the air before him. The lines of text read, "Hacking, password cracking, mobile hacking, and Hacker's Manual 2016. On a city street, Tom follows Eugene and another boy down the sidewalk. Glowing text boxes over Tom's head read, "Phone detected," then "Accessing."
"No time to chill.
Tom follows them around a corner. A text box over his head reads, "Hacking." Underneath it is a status bar with a rising percentage number. He follows them down an alley. The status bar reaches 100%. A text box reads, "Hacking complete." Then, voice data.
Why you bring me over to Cousin, bro? Bring me over to Cousin, bro. If I came here for real, I was like, "Hey, I'm Cousin."
He ducks behind a garbage can as Eugene and the other boy enter a parking lot. They approach a bearded man in an SUV. Eugene climbs into the passenger seat.
Cool, yeah?
Half a brick there, yeah? Sure you can... Why are you leaning on my car for, fam?
Cousin, man.
Get off the fucking car.
You sure you can handle it, yeah?
Well, that's easy, man.
The bearded man glares at the boy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should we start talking to you now? Stand over there, fam.
It's cool. Listen, cuz, it's cool. Don't worry about him, yeah?
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's cool.
Mind how you lot go, fam.
Yeah, I'll bail you straight away,
Make
man.
Sure you call me, yeah?
I'll bail you. Safe.
Safe, cuz.
Safe.
Eugene steps from the SUV and approaches the other boy. Tom ducks behind the garbage can as they head toward the alley. They both receive texts that read, "Behind you."
Wow, that's exactly the same time, you know.
They turn to the bearded man.
What?
I'll bail you.
As they approach the garbage can, Tom is no longer behind it. On a city street, Tom makes his way down the sidewalk. As he passes other pedestrians, their cell phones activate. He turns and steps out into the street. A car lurches to a halt in front of him. In her bedroom, Lucy lies asleep in bed. She awakens as she receives a text from an unknown caller that reads, "Hi, Lucy. How are you feeling?" She sits up, takes her cell phone off a bedside table, and sends a text. On a street corner, Tom looks up as glowing letters above his head form the words, "Who's this?" He turns and stares at a nearby car. He grins. Lucy receives a text message that reads, "I'm looking after you." She drops her phone on the bedside table.
Weirdo.
In her kitchen, Lucy turns on an electric kettle, then takes a mug that reads, "Princess Lucy," out of the cupboard. She drops a tea bag into the mug, then takes an empty milk carton out of the fridge and stares at it. Outside her apartment building, Lucy stands on a landing atop a staircase that leads down to the street below. Her eyes dart about her surroundings, then she makes her way down the stairs. Two teenage boys approach her from behind. Her eyes widen. Breathing heavily, she stops and watches them pass out of the corner of her eye. In his bedroom at night, Tom sits in the dark. Nan opens the door and stands on the threshold.
Wonder if you wanted some tea, love. Tom?
Tea? Yeah, cool.
Okay.
She leaves. Before Tom's eyes are video footage feeds from Eugene and the members of his gang's cell phones and computers. He zooms in on footage of the boy with whom Eugene made the drug deal. The boy sits down before a computer and stares intently at the screen. He takes a ring off his finger and sets a box of Kleenex down in front of him. Tom rolls his eyes. He zooms in on footage of another boy lying asleep in bed in a bedroom. Tom blinks. The lights in the room go on, awakening the boy, then go back out again. Tom zooms in on close-up footage of Eugene's face. The lights in the room he is in go out. Eugene's eyes dart about. A boy in another bedroom rises from his bed.
I'm fucking with the lights!
Another boy jumps out of bed. Tom grins as the boys flee from their rooms. The boy with whom Eugene made the drug deal grins at his computer screen as he masturbates. Tom furrows his brow. The footage feeds disappear. He winces. Tom raises an eyebrow and smiles. In the school auditorium, a bearded man stands on stage at a podium before the uniformed students. In the crowd, Tom watches Eugene and one of his fellow gang members struggling to stay awake.
Quiet, please. Thank you. So, for this morning's thought of the day, we will be discussing with you future planning. Now, as you know, many of the top here will be taking their exam soon, much sooner than many of them would like. But it's always at this time of year, as we prepare to say bye-bye to some of you, that my thoughts turn to what lies ahead of us on the road to... Okay, everybody, quiet, please.
On a screen above the bearded man's head, footage of the masturbating boy appears. In the crowd, he bows his head and covers his face with his hand.
Control yourself! Everybody!
The boy rises and leaves the auditorium.
Stop the video! Stop the fucking video! Get them out! Take it down!
Tom grins. In her bedroom, Lucy with Tom.
And Mr. Harris is just standing there with this huge projection of Cass behind him, just jerking off.
Everyone goes like crazy, everyone's screaming and stuff.
Cass goes bright red, just like runs straight out there. It's so funny.
God, how did that even happen?
Dunno. Should we listen to some music?
Sure.
He rises and approaches the stereo.
CDs, are you serious?
Oh, they're my mum's.
No, she's got interesting taste.
She sends a text that reads, "It's you, isn't it?"
What about tongue?
Yeah.
She receives a response from an unknown caller that reads, "What's me?" Lucy, that's been messing with the gang. You know it was them, don't you? Unknown, why did they attack you? Lucy, they were told to. My brother wouldn't join their gang, so this is what happens. Unknown. Who told them to? Lucy. How should I know? Tom sits down with Lucy on her bed. Lucy texts, "So, you gonna tell me your name?" He replies, "You can call me I-Boy." Lucy. That's ridiculous. I-Boy. Do you have a boyfriend? Lucy. What's that got to do with anything? I-Boy. Is there someone you like? Lucy glances at Tom, then replies, "Nothing romantic, I don't think." Tom turns to her.
Do you want to go to dinner?
Dinner?
Yeah, like food or something.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Great.
She smiles. In his kitchen, Tom opens the fridge. He takes something from the fridge, then turns toward the living room, where Nan's on the phone.
That can't be right. I paid $300 last month.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but our system is 100% accurate. You've missed your payments, which total £600, so...
Oh, well, let's just all bow down to whatever your system says, shall we? Can you check it again for me?
Look, if you can pay the £600 now, then we can stop the added interest on the account. But until then...
I don't have £600. I don't have £300. You have my £300, but you've lost it. Now I'd like to speak to
you. Wait, hold on. It's saying a payment's been made. The account's coming up as cleared. I think this might be an error.
Oh, an error?
On a bench by the water, Tom and Lucy.
Right. I don't reckon I could live on a canal boat.
Why not?
It's too low down. I really like being able to see all of the city and the little people out my window. Plus, ducks are weird.
Shit, they're coming.
No! Stop it! I'll kick you in.
She eats a French fry from a container in Tom's hands.
It's actually really nice getting out of the flat for a little bit. My mum just watches me constantly. It's like she thinks I'm gonna throw myself off the balcony or something. I've never been the victim. It doesn't feel right.
I don't see you like that.
Yeah, you do. But it's all right. You'll get there. You know, out of everyone, you're the only person who has come to see me.
Liz, what happened?
Tom.
No, I want you to know you can... I want you to feel safe when I'm around. What I mean is that if we were in trouble again, I want you to know that I wouldn't run this time. I'd stay. Even if I meant I'd die, I just want you to know that.
She smiles sadly, then strokes his arm.
Okay. Same.
At night, Tom and Lucy make their way toward her building through the courtyard.
Did I ever tell you about when I got locked out on your roof overnight with what's-her-face?
No.
Alice. You know Alice? She's sat, like, left of you in... Math?
I think so.
We thought it'd be a really good idea to go and set up there.
Lucy!
Eugene and his gang.
Shit.
You right?
Yeah?
Heard about what happened to you and Ben. It's messed up, you know. But I get what's coming to him. I promise you that.
Right.
You don't think it's nothing to do with us, do you?
Why'd I think that?
No, exactly. Because, you know, she sits at Abram, some little prick, has been playing these childish games with us. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Liz?
No.
Because I think you might.
Leave it, Eugene.
Eugene grins at Tom.
What about you, Tom?
What about me?
You've always had a thing for Lucy, haven't you?
And you're a geek.
I'm not a geek.
Well, you look like a geek.
Eugene grabs him.
Little shit. It's you, innit?
All of the gang members receive texts that read, "Wrong guy, dickheads."
You good as well? Fuck, man.
Lucy runs off. Tom follows her.
And where is he? I told you, Hazard, bro. Come out! Come out now!
Tom follows Lucy along the walkway toward her apartment. At her door, she turns to him.
I'm really sorry. Thank you for today.
She goes inside. He stares at her door. An overhead view of the city skyline at night. In a parking lot, Eugene and his gang approach a car.
Hit the whip, boys. You know how to do this one, yeah?
Of course.
Cass uses a Slim Jim to unlock the driver's side door, then opens the door for Eugene.
And would sir like to take a drive?
Oh, sir would.
The four boys climb into the car.
Calm yourself down.
In the glove compartment, fam. No, the sunglasses.
Hey, has check the dashboard.
We see a big old five playing the coffee, isn't it? Bro, I beg you, hurry up, bro. It's all bay out here, man.
Okay. What's this time to go? I've started bare cars, bro. Don't rush me.
Don't focus.
Give me that. Hurry up, I was going to say to you, obviously, now. It's different in here, man.
The doors lock.
Why are you locking the door?
I didn't lock the door, Cass, man. Shut your mouth. I didn't lock the door.
You didn't open the door. I swear down, I didn't lock the door, bro.
Fucking hell.
I didn't lock the door, I swear to you.
The engine starts.
Start it, engine.
I didn't fucking start that.
Why have you done it then, bro?
The radio turns on.
Start that.
I know what you did.
What?
Who the fuck are you?
Why are you
ready? Look at my legs, bro.
The car fills with smoke.
I got it. Smoke coming from the car, man. Open the fucking door. The smoke coming from the car.
Why did you attack the workers?
Bro, we got told to! We had no choice! Shut the fuck up, Cass, man!
Who told you to?
Shut the fuck up, Cass! It was the boss! We don't want to! We're sorry!
I ain't telling you, Jim! Shut the fuck up!
Who's your boss?
Shut your mouth! No hammer!
Flames rise up out of the engine.
Oh, shit!
Give me his name!
Pass the bus!
It's door, lad!
Pass!
Oh, fuck!
Give me your name!
I dying no shit, you go! Shut the fuck up, I told you to shut
your
up!
Your name! Now!
It was Kurt! It was Kurt! He made us do it!
The doors unlock. Three of the boys topple out of the vehicle onto the pavement. One of them goes back and pulls Eugene out. The car explodes. In the nearby shadows, Tom, wearing a hood and a bandana over the lower half of his face, stands watching. On On a balcony at night, Tom stands, masked and hooded, looking out at the lights of the city. Lit up before him, a facial recognition program runs through a series of mugshots. The face of Cuts, the man from whom Eugene and Cass bought drugs, appears in a hierarchy diagram with the photos of Eugene, Cass, and the two other gang members, Ant and Hazard, beneath it. A glowing line zigzags across the city, then stops beneath a text box that reads, Cuts Flat. At Cuts' apartment, a burly man peels potatoes. Cuts and two other men sit on nearby couches.
Yo, Keel, you made it.
What's it look like? Shepherd's pie, fam.
Yo, what's the difference between shepherd's pie and cottage pie?
I don't know. But I would smash your mum's cottage pie.
Shut up.
No, it's potatoes, isn't it, man? Mashed potatoes are fluffy, like sheep. Shepherd's pie. Cottage pie's them. Square potatoes, like the roof of a cottage.
Fuck out of here about fluffy potatoes.
Behave.
Would you lot stop talking about fucking pies?
Keon and the two others turn to Cuts, who scowls at them.
And if you must, though, the difference is lamp.
Closed circuit footage appears on a TV.
Yo, Cuts, ain't that your car?
A car in a parking garage.
Yeah.
An unseen figure opens the car door.
I think he's getting his dick out, bruv.
Are you not doing this?
Nah, bro.
A stream of urine.
Oh, shit, he's pissing.
Motherfucking prick! Hurry up, bruv! Hurry up, man!
From the shadows, Tom looks on as Cuts, Keon, and the two other men run out of the building and down the street. In Cut's apartment, an unmasked Tom stands, looking at a large wall mural depicting a woman licking the barrel of a gun held by the shadowy figure of a man. He turns, glances around the apartment, then approaches a coffee table. He picks a joint up off the table, lights it, and takes a hit. Behind him, the channels on the TV change rapidly, then the TV explodes. Tom turns to it, then grins. He steps toward the kitchen. Electronic appliances in the room explode. Here's another token. We are the chosen. In a parking lot, Cuts and the others approach Cuts' car. In Cuts' apartment, Tom takes a long pull from a bottle of beer, then tosses the bottle against the window. He hops onto the coffee table and kicks the empty bottles, takeout containers, and other items onto the floor. He takes another hit on the joint. The bulbs and overhead lights explode as he passes under them. In the parking lot, Cuts and the others stand, staring at the car. In the apartment, the stereo speakers explode, sending the cover sliding across the room. Tom crouches down and looks into the cabinet of one of the speakers. Inside are stacked bricks of white powder. He grins. Outside, Cuts and the others approach the entrance to the building. They enter, then scan the trashed apartment. Cuts turns and stares at the empty stereo speaker. In her living room, Lucy sits on the couch watching TV with Tom.
I heard there was this guy. He's trying to take on the gangs. Like some sort of vigilante or something.
Yeah, heard that as well.
What an idiot.
Well, you know, maybe this is just the start. Maybe he's gonna change this place for the better.
What, by setting fire to cars and getting into fights? To clean this place up, he'll have to do a lot more than that. You know the exams?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't been back to school since. And I wondered if maybe you wanted to go together.
To the exams?
Like the world's most boring day.
Okay.
In his bedroom at night, Tom sits on his bed staring at a TV. On the screen, a scrolling text field appears beside the word iBoy. A video loads, then begins to play footage of a burning car. In a hallway at night, a hooded Tom passes through a doorway and steps onto a balcony that overlooks the city. He He looks out over the skyline. A URL address appears that reads iboy.net/Crowley Estate Cleanup. Streaks of green light rise straight up into the night sky from the balcony where Tom stands. In his bedroom, Tom opens his closet, takes out a leather gym bag, and carries it into the kitchen, where he removes bricks of white powder from the bag and sets them on the table. With a spoon, he scoops the powder into smaller bags and weighs them on a scale. Hovering before him is a category list of Class A drug felonies, depending on the weight of the drug. He piles small baggies of the powder on the table. Each baggie has a happy face drawn on it. On a city street at night, Tom carries the leather gym bag as he makes his way down the sidewalk. In his bedroom at night, Tom lies in bed, staring up at the ceiling. Before him appears an architectural drawing of a building complex. The drawing tilts forward, providing an overhead view of the complex. A label on it reads, Crowley Estates. Locations on the drawing are marked with dots. Text appears that reads, sending locations to Metropolitan Police, then location sent. An overhead view of a police SWAT team rushing into the Crowley Estates courtyard. The officers separate into smaller groups and approach different locations around the apartment complex. In an apartment, police officers search through a bedroom. One officer pulls out a dresser drawer and empties its contents onto the floor. Another searches a small bedside cabinet and finds a baggie of white powder inside it. Outside the apartment, officers drag a handcuffed young man from the building. At an ATM, Cuts inserts a card. On the terminal screen, it reads, balance, £0. At Crowley Estates, a SWAT team raids another apartment. On iBoy's website, visitors write comments on a virtual message board such as, who is he? Is he a hacker? And what's his real name? In a bedroom in an apartment, police officers find a baggie of white powder under a mattress. In the courtyard, Eugene, wearing socks, underwear, and a jacket, runs from police officers. One of them catches and tackles him to the ground. As he struggles to free himself, more officers pile on top of him and pin him to the ground. On iBoy's website, video footage of the arrest appears. On a balcony at night, a hooded Tom watches as the lights of the city go out. A wave of darkness sweeps across the skyline. In the kitchen, Tom and Nan sit at the table. Before them is a knife.
Shouldn't go through my room.
You shouldn't have flick knives. How about we focus on that?
This is bullshit.
Isn't it just? Where'd you go at night?
Walking.
With this?
No. Actually, I took it off someone else. That's one less knife in the street.
Oh. So this is you doing your civic duty?
Maybe.
What's happened to you, Tom? You never used to get into trouble. Now it's all bullet wounds and knives.
Nan.
Well, where does it end, Tom? I'll tell you where it ends. Jail. Or the morgue.
I'm trying to do something, Adam. Trying to do something good.
On a rooftop at night, Cuts on the phone.
Things are a little out of control when you say Cuts.
I know, boss.
Half our boys are in the cells.
Elman, I'm going to sort this out. Believe me.
It's not about what I believe. It's about what you believe. Do you believe that if you don't make this right, I'll hold you personally responsible?
Yeah, of course.
And do you believe that the man I hold personally responsible will be walking around on this earth for very much longer?
No, I don't.
Better make it right, then.
I will, Elman, trust me. I'm going to sort this out as soon as possible, but... Hello?
On a balcony at night, a hooded Tom stands with the interface for a voice and facial recognition program hovering in the air before him. A dark field with a question mark in the label, Elman, appears above Cuts on the gang hierarchy chart. In a parking lot at night, Cuts and other gang members.
I got half my boys nicked right now.
People are taking money from my account. The fucking audacity!
I need answers today. I need every piece of technology. Laptops, phones, anything. You run up on everyone's flat. Your own mother's, your cousin, your sister. I don't give a fuck. Understood?
Danny's among the gang members.
He said, do you understand?
Yeah!
Well, what are you standing here for? Move!
The members disperse.
Hey, Cass.
Yo, Cuts. Big Keys, what are you saying, bro?
What's happening? You alright?
Yeah, man. What are you saying?
Nothing, man. Just wanted to ask you a little question. You see, if someone put a gun to your fucking face like this, yeah? Huh? And said, give me names.
would you do it?
No.
Or if it was a car and it was burning, would you do that? Would you drop my name?
Cass shakes his head.
And what about Omen?
Of course not.
Doesn't make sense. Eugene, and they'd be nicked. And nothing happened to you.
I'm confused as well.
You're confused.
Cut stares at Cass.
But it's cool, man. Do your thing. You're all right, man. You're good, man.
They shake hands. Cass turns and leaves. Cuts and Keon follow him with their eyes. Outside an apartment, four gang members approach a door. A man answers. One of the gang members punches him.
Knock, knock.
The gang members enter the apartment. One of the members pulls a video game console out of a closet. The gang members storm into another apartment. One wrestles with an elderly man while another struggles with a young man over a laptop. A third gang member punches the young man. In another apartment, gang members remove a TV, a cell phone, and a laptop. In a classroom, Tom and other students sit at desks and write exams. The iBoy website appears before him. On it, posts such as WTF iBoy and It's Your Fault appear on the message board. In her and Tom's apartment, Nan sits on the couch in the living room. Two police officers sit before her. Yeah, cool. Tom enters and eavesdrops from the hallway. He enters his bedroom and scans his surroundings. The bed and furniture have been overturned. Clothes hang out of open dresser drawers. On a balcony overlooking the city, Tom paces.
I mean, I've never met the guy.
Well, you can't find your cat. I mean,
like we were talking about last week, we were saying.
Even I was getting my faint heard nothing for days, so I reckon it's over with us.
All right, I'll get a new delivery in. Go to the yard tonight to pick it up. We can't afford any more trouble.
Leave it to me, boss.
Got ya.
Tom grins. In his bedroom at night, Tom stuffs clothes, a Zippo lighter, and a can of lighter fluid into a gym bag. He turns to a TV. On the screen are displayed the words, searching, results for Tom Harvey. 36,128 results. Tom steps from his room. Nan approaches him.
You're not leaving until you tell me exactly where you're going.
I'm not a kid anymore. I don't have to tell you everything.
You know I see your mum in you when I look at you.
She was a junkie.
She was your mother, and she was my daughter.
She made mistakes, but she was kind. She was good. She loved you. She didn't know how to cope. And I should have been there for her. So I will say to you what I wish I had said to her. I love you. Come home.
Don't wake up.
He leaves. She lowers her eyes. On a basketball court, Danny and other gang members play basketball. Nan approaches them.
You all right, sweetheart? You looking for some business? I've got a tenner somewhere. I could do with a little sucky suck.
Why don't you take that tenner and shove it up your ass, my darling? I knew your granddad back in the day. We used to call him the pencil. Know what I mean?
Shut up, man.
Miss Harvey.
Yeah, Danny, can I have a word? Tell me. Have you noticed Tom behaving oddly recently?
He's always been odd, but... yeah, he's been different since the accident.
It wasn't an accident.
No, I suppose not.
But yeah, he has changed. He's angry. And I don't know what he's going to do. But I do know I don't want him to get hurt anymore, so will you look out for him, Danny?
Yeah, yeah. Of course I will, Miss Harvey. I'll definitely do that.
You're a good boy. Thanks.
She leaves. Danny follows her with his eyes, then furrows his brow. From a landing atop a metal staircase, Tom looks down at the street below, where Cuts makes his way toward an SUV. Cuts climbs into the vehicle. In her living room, Lucy receives a text message from iBoy that reads, "I'm going to fix all this." She responds, "I want you to stop." On the staircase landing, Tom receives the message, which hovers in the air before him. He responds, "I'm doing this for you." She texts back, "No, you're doing this for you." On the landing, a hooded and masked Tom watches as Cuts leaves in the SUV. On a city street at night, Tom, riding a bicycle, follows Cuts' SUV. Words hover in the air before him that read, "Distance to Cuts' phone, 437 meters. The words now read, "Distance to Cuts' phone, 258 meters. Tom rounds a corner, then pulls over in front of a rundown building. He climbs off the bike, leans it against the fence, then looks into a garbage can. In it is a cell phone. He grabs the cell phone, glances at it, then tosses it back into the can. He turns and makes his way back toward his bicycle, then looks up into the night sky. A map of the city appears with locations on it marked with moving dots. He focuses on a helicopter-shaped icon moving across the map, then accesses the video feed from a police helicopter.
The accident that has left much of the A12 between Blackstone Tunnel and...
He uses the feed to zoom in on the license plate of a vehicle on the street below. On the map, the vehicle appears as a moving red dot. On a city street, Tom rides his bike in traffic. On the map, he appears as a blue dot following the red dot. He follows Cut's SUV onto a bridge. The SUV approaches a gate outside a dockyard. On his bike, Tom pulls up outside the gate. He climbs off his bike and passes through the gate. In the dockyard, Tom watches from the shadows as four men gather in an open area between stacks of shipping containers. The men leave. Tom makes his way down a gap between stacks of shipping containers. He peeks out into an open area, spots Cuts, then ducks back into the shadows. He makes his way down another gap between the containers and approaches a man with his back turned to him. Before him appear martial arts instructional videos.
Use your weight to build power and follow through the structure.
Knock to the left, parallel with the rest.
Hit your opponent in the chest.
Right. Or connect your punch to the right side.
Tom clenches his fist.
Identify your opponent's weak spot and strike hard.
He kicks the man in the back of the knee.
Follow through the strike.
As the man rises, Tom punches him in the face, knocking him unconscious. He scans his surroundings, then approaches a large box on a pallet. He opens the box. The interior is filled with stacked bricks of white powder. He squirts lighter fluid on the box, then lights it with a Zippo. As he watches the box burn, words hover in the air before him that read, "Elman, this doesn't stop until you're gone." As he turns to leave, Cuts punches him in the face.
Hell on him!
Other gang members surround him and kick and stomp him as he lies on the ground. Cuts pulls a gun. Leon and the other gang members clutch their ears. Tom rises to his feet and staggers off. Cuts points his gun at him. The bullet misses Tom. Cuts drops to his knees, then raises his weapon. Cuts crouches, clutching his ear, grimacing in agony. On a city street at night, a bloody-nosed Tom stumbles down the sidewalk. Blurry text hovers in the air before him. He bumps into a lamppost. At twilight, in a clump of grass overlooking the river, Tom lies unconscious. He stirs, then awakens and sits up. He scans his surroundings. Atop a desk, Tom's cell phone. At her kitchen table, Lucy on the phone, wearing her school uniform. She puts her phone into her blazer pocket, then rises and puts on a jacket. In the school gymnasium, students sit in desks arranged in rows. Lucy enters. She makes her way down a row and sits at a desk. She glances around at other students as they write their exams, then flips over the exam on her desk. In the apartment building, Lucy passes through a door, then ascends a staircase running up the outside of the building. Tom follows her.
Lucy.
Nice of you to show up, Tom.
I'm sorry I wasn't there.
No, listen. You said you would come with me. You said that.
I know, I'm sorry.
Forget it.
Look, I'm sorry. I've been busy, I promise you.
Busy?
I'll make it up to you. I wish I could explain, but things have been... I haven't been myself.
No, seriously, Tom, just forget it.
They make their way to the front of the building, then turn toward the entrance. Cass's dead body hangs by a rope from a balcony. Lucy turns away, covers her mouth, then leaves. Tom stares at the body. On a balcony overlooking the courtyard, Tom leans on the railing and looks down at two police officers standing with two others. Danny approaches him and joins him at the railing.
Cass, ma'am. I've known him since forever. He was a dickhead, but...
Yeah.
He glances at the bruise under Tom's eye.
That's what happened to you.
Oh, just... got jumped, so...
I haven't seen you around lately.
Been revising.
It's not what I've heard. My cousin Tia says you haven't been in exams. It's a shame, man.
I always thought you'd be the one to go places. Who killed Cass, Danny?
If you ask me, blame that hacker. He started shit that could only end one way. See you around, Tom.
See you around.
Danny leaves. On the street outside the apartment complex at night, Tom sits on a park bench and stares up at the building.
Well, do you think it's eyeball that killed him, or do you think
that's it? That's cut it out. 17-year-old called
In his office, the doctor sits across his desk from Tom.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about what's going on for you?
It's just this pain in my head. I need the pieces. You've got to find something. You need to operate.
Well, look...
Just take the pieces out of my fucking brain!
Hey, okay. There's not a lot that we can do about it. That these fragments, they've moved a lot deeper into your brain tissue. There's just no safe way that we can...
What if I pay you?
Well, then I'd be in private practice, but I'm afraid I would still have to say no.
You've got help. Things haven't been the same since this has happened.
Look, Perhaps I'm not the kind of doctor that you need to be talking to.
Tom's eyes dart about the office. At night, Tom makes his way through the courtyard toward the apartment building. Inside in the hallway, he stands before the door to his apartment. He unlocks the door and goes inside. In his bedroom at night, Tom lies asleep in bed. He awakens and sits up. His eyes widen as he turns toward the door. He opens his door and makes his way down the hallway in the dark. Keon points a gun at his head. He pushes Tom into the kitchen, where a shaved-headed man sits at the kitchen table, drinking tea and reading one of Nan's manuscripts. He looks up at Tom.
You're gonna need some more milk.
Tom turns to Cuts, who stands nearby. Nan enters the room.
Hello, Wendy. I've just been reading some of your stories. You're a dark horse, aren't you?
Elwyn, what the fuck are you doing here?
After all these years, can't we at least be civil?
You leave us alone, you fucking bastard!
Cuts clubs Nan with his gun.
Really? The granny? Put her on the bed. Make sure she's breathing.
Let me see her.
Don't worry, she'll be all right. We'll keep an eye on. Cuts is a man with a hammer in a world of China, know what I mean? Keon, let him go.
Cuts returns and grins at Tom.
I'm gonna wish I hadn't done that.
Oh, yeah? What are you gonna fucking do, little prick?
No.
Keon taps Tom on the back of the head with his gun. Elman rises and looks out the window.
I grew up in this tower block. My bedroom looked out the same side as this. Views changed a bit.
What do you want?
To reminisce uninterrupted, is that okay?
You see, back in the day, when I was in short trousers, this whole area was a shithole. Now it's just us, in the shadow of millionaires.
How many lads from the estate do you think make it up those skyscrapers, Tom?
We have different towers to climb, don't we? So? You cool? Here I am. What did you want to say to me? No? These moments were always better in our head, aren't they? The French have a word for it. But then they have a word for fucking everything.
Wanted to hurt you.
Okay, good. Now we're getting somewhere.
Not anymore. You're not worth it. It's over now.
It's pretty far from over, Tom. You don't call the devil, then get upset when he turns up.
You're not the devil, you're just a cunt.
I suppose I am a bit, yeah. What is that? What is it you're doing? You've got a little look in your eye like you're busy. Are you, Tom? You a busy little bee? What are you looking for? Do you know, I've heard rumours that you can tap into phones with just your mind, break into bank accounts with a click of a finger. Sounds a bit far-fetched, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But do you know, I happen to think that it's true.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
That's the difference between us and them. They have a modicum of talent. They shout it from the rooftops. Us, we have a talent. We get told to shut up. Don't show off. Don't be such a clever bastard. You're special, Tom. Don't ever, ever pretend that you're not.
All right, I'm special. What's it got to do with you?
My one gift, if I may be so bold, it's vision. I want to help you fulfill your potential. I want to give you the opportunity to change the world.
You mean the opportunity to make a lot of money?
An obscene amount of money.
I'll pass.
Why?
Just go fuck yourself, that's why.
Cuts raises his weapon and steps menacingly toward Tom.
Okay.
He lowers his gun.
Well, okay. Well,
It's worth a shot.
Elman kicks Tom in the knee. Tom falls to the floor.
I've spent a lot of money bailing my boys out of police custody, so you owe me. Now I want you to ask yourself one very important question. Where? Oh, where is Lucy?
A video feed of Lucy hovers in the air beside Elman, who looks down at him and grins.
You see her, don't you?
She's got nothing to do with any of this.
That's entirely up to you.
In a warehouse, Lucy sits tied to a chair. A cell phone videotapes her. Eugene, Ant, and Hazard stand around her.
I don't like this.
Well, next time, get a note from your fucking mum or something.
I mean, I can't kill no girl.
If it ain't gonna come to that.
Yeah, what if it does?
I'm right here, you know.
Yeah, we see you.
What, just like you see me every fucking day since nursery? Does that mean nothing? Come on, Aunt. We grew up together. Our mums used to walk us home from school together. We used to play in that little park by the estate.
Fuck this, man. A gagger or something has. Can't listen to her shit anymore, man.
Aunt leaves. Lucy shakes her head. The phone dials the numbers 999. In the kitchen, Keon dumps Tom down in a chair. Cuts and Elman stare at him.
So how does it work, then?
I woke up with it after they shot me.
You get shot and you get superpowers?
Yes.
Most people just get dead.
Lucky, I guess.
That's yet to be established. So go on, then. Show me what you can do.
I'm gonna steal for you.
I think you'd probably like that.
Elman sits down across from him at the table.
You're gonna do what I say, or I'm gonna burn your world down. Danny, can you come in here, please?
Danny enters.
It was young Daniel here who first suggested you might be our masked man.
And you know, he didn't even want to be here to see if he was right. How long you known Danny?
My whole life.
Your whole life? I've never even met the guy. And yet he gave you up to me. You know why?
Elman takes a wad of cash out of his jacket pocket.
Little pictures of the Queen.
He holds it out to Danny, then pulls it away.
If you're going to betray a friend, look him in the eye while you do it.
Danny glances at Tom, then lowers his eyes.
Little pictures of Elizabeth.
Elman rises and steps toward Danny.
Open your mouth, Danny.
Open your fucking mouth.
He pulls a bill from the wad, stuffs it in Danny's mouth, then turns to Tom.
In case you're wondering, that's what power looks like. Now, you're going to put funds into my bank account? Because I know you can do it. And I know you're not going to let me do the things I'm willing to do if you don't. Give me a phone, Danny. Now fuck off.
Danny hands Elman his phone, then leaves.
Okay, none of us are getting any younger. Let's get this done.
He sets the phone down on the table.
Be a dear and fill her up, will you?
A pound amount on the phone display begins to rise from zero in 50-pound increments.
Is that as fast as you can go?
I could just dump the entire Bank of England in there, but I think people might start asking questions.
You see, I still like this guy, despite everything.
You're a special kid, Tom. A special kid.
In the warehouse.
Okay, so how are we doing it?
I'm gonna put an X on it.
Hazard marks a bullet with a knife.
Whoever gets the X has got to do it. Yeah, put your hands on.
Are you fucking kidding me?
What'd you expect?
Don't talk to her.
Well, I wouldn't shoot an unarmed girl tied to a chair.
Shut up.
But I guess I'm not a big man like you, Eugene.
Shut up! Just shut the fuck up!
Why don't you just fucking do it then? Isn't that what you want?
He points his gun at her.
Calm down, man. Chill.
Eugene grabs Lucy and puts a hand over her mouth as Ant and Hazard untie her. They drag her away. Ant stomps on the phone. In the kitchen, Tom flinches. Elman turns to him.
What just happened?
Nothing.
Cuts, check in with the warehouse.
In the warehouse, Eugene, Ant, and Hazard hide behind a wall as police scan the space with flashlights. Eugene holds a hand over Lucy's mouth. He glances down at his cell phone, then sets his gun on the floor. He drops the phone. In the kitchen, Cuts turns to Elman.
No answer, boss.
He hands the phone to Elman, who turns to Tom.
All right, let's take this on the road.
In the warehouse, behind the wall, Eugene holds a hand over Lucy's mouth. Through a crack in the wall, Ant and Hazard watch the officer leave.
They're gone.
Eugene releases Lucy. She picks up Eugene's gun and points it at them.
Oh, shit. You fucked up.
In a car, Cuts drives. Elman sits in the passenger seat. Keon and Tom sit in the back seat. The car rolls along a city street. Tom stares out the window. Elman smiles at Tom in the rearview mirror.
Tom, of the Crowley Estate Harpers. I knew your mum back in the day. She was a good time girl. She could light up a room with her hand jobs. You must have been what? 3 when she died?
2.
I knew her well, you know. Very well.
He turns and looks at Tom.
Gosh, you don't think. We both certainly like getting into a lot of trouble, don't we?
Tom turns away and stares out the window. In the warehouse, Lucy points the gun at Eugene, Ant, and Hazard.
Well, I wasn't actually going to kill you, Luz.
No?
No. Calm down.
I never used to think you could rape me. Either, Eugene. Because we grew up together. And we were friends, remember?
What happened was fucked up.
You don't get to talk about it! Fuck you, Ant! Fuck all of you! Tell me you're ashamed.
I'm ashamed.
No! You wouldn't be able to even look at me. So don't fucking look at me!
They all bow their heads.
Let's get on your knees, all of you.
Lucy.
Now!
Lucy, don't have to do this. I'm sorry.
They get down on their knees.
I don't know what happened to you.
She turns and steps out from behind the wall into the main area of the warehouse. Elman, Keon, Cuts, and Tom enter. She and Cuts point their weapons at one another. She spots Tom and lowers her gun. Elman approaches her and smiles.
Well, I have to admit, I was expecting you to be rather more restrained than this young lady. Bravo. Boys, can you come out here, please?
Elman takes off his jacket.
You haven't shot them, have you?
Eugene, Ant, and Hazard enter.
Oh, good. Gentlemen, everything under control. Only the hostage has got the gun.
Lucy!
Cuts clubs Tom with his gun.
Yeah!
He falls to the floor. Eugene grabs Lucy, disarms her, and points the gun at her head.
Natural order is restored. Come on, Tom, up you get.
Elman gives Tom a light kick.
By the way, I wanted to apologize personally for the indignities you've had to suffer. Young people today. Like animals, you know.
He grins at Lucy.
I wouldn't like me either.
Cuts points his gun at Tom. Elman holds a cell phone before him.
Continue.
Tom looks up at a blurry field flickering around Elman's head.
Come on, Tom.
I'm trying.
Bit of performance anxiety.
Tom?
Come on!
Eugene presses his gun against Lucy's head.
If I gave you the option to walk away, would you take it?
What?
If I gave you the option to walk away and never come back, would you take it?
Why the fuck would I do that?
Just thought I'd ask first.
The cell phone in Elman's hand glows red. He winces and throws it against the wall. Red digitized bursts hit Cuts, Hazard, Ant, and Keon. They fall to the ground. Lucy breaks free from Eugene, disarms him, and clubs him with a gun. He falls. Tom turns and chases after Elman. He steps from the warehouse into the rain. Elman hits him from behind with a length of pipe. Tom falls to the ground. Elman shoves him with his foot.
I've never been more fucking disappointed with anyone in my life.
He kicks Tom in the face, then crouches down over him.
Maybe you're not that special after all.
Elman winces and staggers backward. Tom rises to his feet. Elman lunges forward and drops him with a headbutt. He turns, picks up the pipe, then steps toward Tom.
Nah, you are special. But I'm still gonna kill ya!
Elman turns to Lucy, who points a gun at him.
Get the fuck away from him, you middle-aged prick!
He smirks, then steps toward her. She pulls the trigger.
Stupid little girl.
A bullet hits him in the arm. He staggers backward, then snarls and steps toward her. He grabs her, then punches her in the face. She crumples to the ground. He turns to Tom, who comes limping toward him. Elman picks the pipe up off the ground. He glares at Tom and steps toward him. Tom's face becomes a blurry digitized field of glowing green light. A bolt of energy shoots out from the field, hits Elman, and sends him toppling backward. Tom crumples to the ground. Rain pours down on the motionless bodies of Tom, Elman, and Lucy. In a hospital room, Tom lies unconscious in bed. Nan sits in a nearby chair. She holds his bandaged hand in hers. His thumb moves. She looks up at him. He slowly opens his eyes.
Back again, Nan.
She smiles at him. He smiles back. In the kitchen, Tom and Nan sit eating at the table. In the courtyard, a group of teenage boys gather around Danny. Tom enters the courtyard. Danny approaches him.
Tom.
Tom stops and turns to him.
What do you want?
It's the money Elman gave.
He holds out a wad of cash. Tom does not take it.
What I did was unforgivable. I know that. I know we're done. I just wanted to do right by you.
Why? Because we were friends, or because you're scared of me? Keep it, I don't want it.
I reckon you did us all a favor, you know? taking them out? I'm just saying, I know you're probably beating yourself up about it, but guys like that, they gotta get got.
You know, Danny, I was thinking. I went after everyone in that video. But I didn't stop to think about who was filming.
Danny lowers his eyes for a moment, then backs away.
Maybe you'll get him yet. Peace, Tom.
Tom leaves. Danny approaches the other boys.
Yo. Get to you down there.
On the balcony, Tom stands at the railing, looking out at the city. Lucy approaches.
Don't jump. Unless you can fly now, too. Is that another one of your magical powers?
So things got pretty mental back there.
People got hurt, Tom.
I know.
I mean, I literally shot a guy.
I'm sorry, Lucy. I'm trying to say I'm sorry.
All right. I forgive you.
I see his face whenever I close my eyes.
I see a lot of faces when I close my eyes. I don't know if it ever really goes away. But I'll help you if you help me.
She smiles at him. He turns away and lowers his eyes.
You know, there are restaurants in town. People go, and then other people cook for them. It's really great. You should try it.
The view's pretty good, though.
Behind them on a blanket is a picnic lunch.
So, are you gonna stick around then?
He turns to her. She smiles at him.
In case you need me.
In case I want you.
He leans toward her. They kiss.
And you.
They turn and look out at the city.
You see it.
She slips her hand under his arm and lays her head on his shoulder.
I have no place to hide. Or worries to give her. And I have.
Credits. Cast. Tom, Bill Milner. Lucy, Macy Williams. Nan, Miranda Richardson. Elman, Rory Kinnear. Danny, Jordan Bolger. Eugene, Charlie Palmer Rothwell. Aunt, Armin Karima. Hazard, Mikkel David. Cass, Shaquille Ali Yeswa. Cut. Eamon Hamdouchi, and Keon, Leon Anor.
One day at a time.
Executive producers, Will Mackin, Natalie Brenner, and Sam Parker.
Wants to be free, yeah. Backflip and somersault, yeah. Be careless of me, yeah. But life gets in the way, yeah. My past won't let go of me, yeah. I'm fighting away, yeah. And you, you see it all. I have no place to hide, or worries to give. And I am sitting over here, looking for the answers, working it out, one day at a time. And I am sitting over here, looking for the answers, working it out. One day at a time, 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 one day at a time. One day at a time. One day at a time. One day at a time.
The logos for Outpost VFX, Sound Disposition, Molinaire, XYZ Films, Wigwam Films, and Pretty Pictures appear. Copyright 2016 Crow Ventures. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.